'Twas the night before Jesus, when all through the earth every creature was stirring for a new baby's birth. Words from the night before Jesus, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas book. The night before Jesus would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 3 through 5. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Night Before Jesus.
There is a dogmatic connection in Washington and among media analysts all over to the idea that Islam is a religion of peace.
What's not acceptable to the professional evolutionist is a God who actually physically does things, a God who intervenes in the natural world.
This is a total arbitrary decision to create a God in your own image that happens to be a mystical idea, but not a lot of comfort when you get news in the hospital that you have a week to live.
Why we're so insistent on the Bible is because this is where God speaks. This is the objective thing so that we know who He is. This is how He reveals Himself to us.
New dads like getting into issues with prayer.
Think of all the things that you outsource in your life. You leave it to the professionals. Maybe it's cheaper, maybe it's easier. Saves you time and effort. One thing that Christian parents simply cannot afford to outsource. Yes, there are professionals out there, like pastors and theologians, who are very helpful in Christian catechesis and faith formation, but that task of faith formation cannot be delegated to someone else. It is, as the 16th century reformer reminds us, the primary reason God made parents and entrusted them with children in the first place, that the children be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what's the relationship between the catechesis, the education side of it, and the faith formation? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, December the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Larry Peters is going to join us to talk about faith formation for the first few minutes. Clark Forsythe of Americans United for Life will explain to us why the Supreme Court has refused to hear two Planned Parenthood cases that have something to do with how Planned Parenthood gets its money at the state level. Pastor Chris Rosebro will be alongside for This Week in Pop Christianity. Should Christians expect daily miracles? Takbana says, well, of course they should. We'll get Chris's response. And then, since it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. Joining us to talk about faith formation, Pastor Larry Peters, senior pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and author of a recent column titled Education is Not the Same as Faith Formation. Larry, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd.
Now, you're not bashing education as somehow detrimental to faith, are you?
Oh, absolutely not. This really has nothing to do with or is any way a slam against education in the faith. What it does is it challenges the idea that that is the equivalent of faith formation. Let me give you an example by that. I grew up in the old days when you sat in confirmation class for 2.5 hours on a Saturday, and the only time you ever spoke that entire class period was when you repeated your memory work. Otherwise, the pastor lectured you on the catechism. And it was a fine and a wonderful thing that he did. He was faithful in his job. But the faith formation is what happened when I saw my parents live out the faith, when they brought me to church, when my dad used to hold the hymnal in our joint hands and point with his finger along as the liturgy went, when they prayed with me at night by the bedside table, when I saw them in their daily lives live out what they confessed in church on Sunday morning. That's where the faith formation took place, and the knowledge that the church gave me became conviction and trust.
There seems to be something of this bent when 16th century reformer Martin Luther puts into the hands of fathers in particular, but parents in general, the job of catechizing their children. He wasn't excluding, obviously, the education, but it sounded like he expected that catechism to be part also of the faith formation.
I think that Luther has it exactly right there, and I'm not sure what happened along the way. At some point in time, You know, maybe people began to think that some of this stuff was better left to the professionals, and the idea that what the church provided was the only thing that was important in this. Somewhere along the line, we kind of minimized the role of parents and faith mentors all the way through a child's life. And I think that in doing so, you know, we ended up depriving the child of one of the most profound things that forms faith in a child, and that is to see the faith lived out in the life of the people, to watch your parents. I remember my dad teaching me the faith without words even being addressed to me. Every morning, I would watch him. He got up early in the morning. He was sitting in his chair at 5 a.m., and he had his Bible on one hand. He had the Portals of Prayer on the other, and oftentimes he had either the catechism or a prayer book, a devotional book, laid out. And I watched him, you know, with curious eyes. What was he doing? I watched him bow his head and fold his hands and watched him pray, and I saw the profound character of this faith lived out and displayed in his life. That's what Luther was getting at. We somehow along the way somehow minimized the role of parents in all of this, and the faith formation really has its heart in the home. Certainly with teaching, there is education that happens in the home as well. It's not just in the church, but it's where those things come together and where the child experiences it from the vantage point of seeing that faith lived out. I thank my lucky stars, I thank God every day for the profound example of my parents who raised me in the faith. And I think, as many parents do, I don't think that I did as good a job as they did with my own kids. But that's part of what we're getting at when we talk about faith formation. We're challenging the idea that somehow or another it's enough to learn the faith on an academic level. We need to do that by all means, but we also need to live out that faith in a devotional sense and from the perspective of the life of the child at home. That's certainly how I was raised. That's how my wife was raised. And that's part of the reason why we're active Christians to this present day.
We have heard, I think all of us have heard, the correlation between the likelihood that children, when grown, will continue to go to church with whether or not, oddly enough, whether or not their father went to church. Mother makes a difference, but father makes a huge difference as to whether or not children, when grown, will continue in the life of the church. Is that part of that formation, just seeing dad get up on Sunday morning and take everybody to church?
I think it is, and I think it is in ways, and I don't mean to minimize the contribution of a mom at all, but I think that, you know, the father figure, this is the strong man, so to speak, at least historically, the protector, the provider. When you see that person pray, when you see that person speak the words of the creed, of the Our Father, when you witness them in their life as a person in the pew, when you watch them open the hymnal, when you hear their voices sing the hymns, that tells the child that faith is not the domain of the few, it is the domain of every person, man, woman, child. And I think maybe we live in an age that's somewhat different than when I grew up. Certainly the shape of the home is different. My mother didn't work outside the household very often, and when she did, it was more after my brother and I were much older as children. But when we see that at work, it makes a distinct impact in the life of the child, to be sure.
Pastor Larry Peters is our guest. We're talking about faith formation on this Friday afternoon, December the 14th. When we come back, there are no panaceas. There's no silver bullet here. It's no guarantee that the faith once formed in this way in the home will carry over. We'll talk about some pastoral concerns regarding that after this. Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 10 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2018, we're $77,000 short of projected expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
What does it mean to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? This great mystery is the thread that runs throughout the December issue of The Lutheran Witness. Some articles celebrate the birth of Jesus. Others explore the theological mystery of human embodiment. Still others do both at once, providing a holiday feast of reflection on Christ's incarnation. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about faith formation. Pastor Larry Peters is our guest. He's senior pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. Larry, there are no guarantees in raising children, period, no matter what facet of parenthood you're talking about. But the same is true, of course, of the parent's responsibility for faith formation. What are your pastoral thoughts there?
Well, the old Proverbs quote, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it, is not so much a recipe for making sure that your child will never fall away from the faith, never be tempted, or so on, but if you raise a child in the faith, that child has always something to return to, a foundation, something that will call them back. So often we forget the importance of a foundation in that regard. We're providing the child with something that will be with them for all of their life. Now, of course, any child can turn their back on what their parents have taught about anything in particular. Faith is one of those things. But a person who comes to faith later in life who has not had that opportunity of the parental example, of the faith formed and lived out in the home, of being together with God's people in the divine service, of learning the catechism and so on, that person literally starts at a different point in time. Many times it's been my privilege to see children who were raised by faithful parents, raised in the faith, and they went to college, they got married, they took a job, they moved across country, and something will happen. It used to be more likely they would find the right spouse and have a child, and boom, all of a sudden the responsibility would be calling them back to the faith. Other things call them back. But they have that foundation there. And I can't tell you how many times somebody has said to me, it is so good to be finally home again. And what they're saying is not a testament to the fact that somehow or another we provided this wonderful welcome or some strategic sermon on that particular Sunday, you know, called them back. But they found again what had been part of the pivotal factors that shaped them, their life, their character, their identity as a child. Learning the faith at home, living it out together with God's people in God's house.
Well, then speak to those parents that did provide to the best of their ability that upbringing that you have talked about that you had with your parents, wherein they modeled the faith, but also lived in those ways that are sometimes tangible or intangible, that demonstrated that this was actually, this stuff that they heard at church was really true. They not only believed it, but it actually had an effect in their life. Speak to those parents that have done this, but have watched their children, even thus raised, stray away from the faith.
Well, first thing I would say is as a parent, don't ever minimize the role you play in shaping your child's life and character, shaping your child's faith. Don't minimize that contribution. Of course, there are times in which your children say and do things that go against what they were taught and the faith they were raised in. There are times when your children shock and embarrass you. There are times when your children disappoint you. That all goes with parenting. But that doesn't mean that you as a parent have failed in your primary vocation. I remember some years ago there was a video put out called Easter Showers, and it was, you know, preparation for parents to bring their children to baptism. There was one line in there that always stuck out. You know, we take our kids to the store, we buy them, you know, all the right things, and they mentioned Stride Right shoes, you know, the old making sure that the kids had the shoes that would do the best for their feet and do all of those things. But the point was made that if you fail to provide them the spiritual foundation of God's Word, our life together within God's house, manifesting and mentoring the faith in the home, then you may have made every other decision right, but you have failed in your ultimate responsibility. And I think we can say to the parents who have attempted to do everything right, you know, God bless you for that. That was your vocation as a parent, and that is your vocation. And the last thing I would say is never stop praying for a child who has dropped out of the church. Never stop praying for a child that seems to have turned his or her back on the faith. You know, the scriptures tell us that the prayer of the righteous is not without power. And what they mean to say to every parent in those circumstances is the prayers don't stop when the child leaves home. They continue. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, parents, I've watched a parent beam with joy when suddenly their son or their daughter who had been gone from the church for a long time shows up. I right now as I'm talking to you, I'm looking at faces in my mind and looking at families, you know, where the faithful example of the parent and where the prayers of the parent over many years bore the fruit of a child rediscovering what it means to be a child of God by baptism and to live out that baptismal faith.
But you say with all seriousness that you still worry about the future. What do you mean by that?
Well, I worry about the future because, first of all, things have changed. We don't live within the support system of an extended family like we used to. I grew up, most of my family lived within a few miles of where I grew up. You know, I saw them all the time. Our family reunions were church family reunions because we all worshiped together. Those kinds of things have been eclipsed by a mobile society and where the responsibility that was once shared in an extended way with the larger family is now more specifically concentrated on the parents themselves. So that places a special burden on the parents. The second thing is that I think there were different times in history when the culture around us was less opposed or less challenging toward what it means to be a Christian and to live out that Christian faith. And certainly we live in trying times in that respect. The last thing I would say is that there are even more temptations today. Social media, the video culture, the video game culture, just the numbers of activities accessible and available to any child that compete with the home, that compete with the church. You know, these things have had their impact upon parents and upon the children and upon the role of the church. My own congregation, we have an extremely mobile congregation. We have people who are here for 2 to 3 years sometimes at most. And, you know, these kids, they start catechism, and they may move halfway through. And I know how hard it is to reconnect to a new church and to start something up all over again. And catechism programs vary from congregation to congregation. I know the great temptation, you know, to kind of leave finding a church home a little bit later on while they do all the other things that are part of such a mobile culture and reestablishing household after a move. So I would just say that we live in times that are filled with challenges to mom and dad and to the children that they raise. And so it puts a special onus, a special burden upon them, just like it does the congregation, to support the parents in this vital role.
Finally, you say that, lest we be misunderstood here, either by pitting education against faith formation, or by saying that somehow education is about knowledge and that faith formation is about feelings. You say it isn't about feelings.
I think that's the typical way we distinguish things, but it's certainly, in my mind, a false dichotomy. We're not appealing simply to the mind or to the heart in either case. Both of these are at work. Certainly, the child who sees the faith active in the life of the parent, that's not a matter of feelings. They're looking at people who believe with conviction, a conviction that is demonstrated in the shape in which they live out their lives. So it's not a matter of feelings. Faith is not about I feel. Faith is about encountering the Word and the promises of God, rejoicing that those words and promises are directed to you as a person, and living in joyful gratitude for what those words and promises mean for the forgiveness of your sins, for the gift of life that death cannot overcome, and for the blessed reunion with the saints and the wonderful life with God that is our best life still waiting to come. God has given us so much around us. These things are not matters that simply tug at our heartstrings. They are matters of fact and truth and conviction. And I think it's a false thing to describe the faith that's lived out as a feeling, and say the academic part of it or the educational part of it is something more appealing to mind and reason. This is the mystery of God's mercy and love manifested in His Son Jesus Christ. And this is not some, you know, checklist in an outline of faith that we check off as we go along, and it's not a feeling that may come and go. You know, it is constantly and always about the Word and the promises of God, which we see lived out and fulfilled in His Son, Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more profound than when you see that at work in the home. I can tell you another example. Every pastor has funerals of people who are faithful people in the congregation. They're children don't live in the area, and you barely know who these people are, their children. And a death comes. You know, mom or dad passes away, and the children come home. And one of the delights I have in talking to the children is in telling them about the side of the parent they may not have seen, the person where they sat in church on Sunday, how many times you know, they came to the altar rail, and I gave to them the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the moments that we spent in prayer together, the words of concern that they addressed as people of faith about their children, their grandchildren. There's nothing more wonderful than to sit down at a time when, you know, in this celebration of life world, when people tell the funny stories about somebody and kind of call that enough. It's a wonderful thing as a pastor to talk to them about that life their parent lived within God's house as a child of God. And it's amazing to me to see the children who have, you know, not been a part of that, moved away, live in another part of, you know, the world, to see their faces light up, because you know then that this is exactly what they saw as children growing up. Now, I don't know what these people do, you know, when they go back home, but I can't help but think that this is a profound and a pivotal moment in their lives when they rekindle again that connection that they had as children growing up in the home, now as children who deal with the grief and the loss of a parent. And, you know, finally say, the most wonderful thing that we have to look forward to is the blessed reunion that God has promised, where we and all those who've gone before in the faith will stand in the presence of our Lord to receive the well done of faith and the eternal gifts that he has prepared.
Pastor Larry Peters is senior pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. He's author of a recent column titled Education is Not the Same as Faith Formation. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Larry, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Todd, and you have a great day.
When we come back, Clark Forsythe will join us, senior counsel at Americans United for Life. We'll talk about that Supreme Court story. It's a story that actually didn't happen. The justices could not muster the proper number of votes to accept a case about Planned Parenthood funding. We'll take it apart and see what it means right after this.
If you want to fix the problems in the church and in the world, if you want to give people the opportunity to escape this self-destructive method of self-justification, you need to simply proclaim to them, you need to make it clear to them that it's safe to come home.
Pastor Hans Feeney speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That what they are going to find is not the hands of an angry God who sort of smacks them upside the head and says, okay, you were a bad boy, now try again to make yourself pleasing to me. People will always choose the comfort of sin and sorrow over the fear of trying again.
You can listen to Pastor Feeney's teaching, Making the Case for the Centrality of Justification, on a recording from the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conferences. We'll send it to you for a recommended donation of $300 to Issues Etc. Order online at issuesetc.org.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child, Jesus Christ, is the focus of every Christmas card that Emmanuel Press offers. Whether in stained glass, illumination, or classic works of art, Christmas cards from Emmanuel Press joyfully confess our Savior's birth with the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to create a custom assortment of cards. EmmanuelPress.us.